Hello, everybody. Welcome to another edition of Cow Daily. This edition, we will be talking about, well, we'll do at the back end of the show an update from the Dartford Queen Elizabeth II Bridge. A lad called Morgan, and I didn't catch the other lad's name, but Morgan's making the videos and he's done an update video. So if you were watching yesterday's show or listening, same guy, and we'll see what's been happening overnight for him and what he's got to say for himself. Main body of the show, however, is we're talking about who funds the Labour Party, and specifically on health. It's obviously such a massive topic that we're probably going to have to take it in stages as per the topic. So this one's health, Wes Streeton, a follow-up on that. We did touch on it a couple of months ago. I just have been doing a lot of shows recently, and I realise in terms of like the response and the feedback that we're getting, that a lot of people still don't know about the NHS, Labour and private funders linked to American healthcare companies, quite a lot of them. But I'm doing a bit of a deeper dive on it today. There's a lot of information. I want to do my best to make it damn entertaining in what is one of the darkest times for all of humanity. But we'll do our best. And with your help in the comments, we'll make it just that. Speaking of that, let's see who's in. Mark Hunt's in. Nice to see you, Mark. Afternoon from Wales. What a great place Wales is. Beautiful. Just for everybody as well, if you could watch the podcast, or, well, if you are watching it, that is, on YouTube. And the reason is we're trying to monetize the channel. So if you want to go to youtube.com/cowdaily, link is in the description of this podcast, youtube.com/cowdaily, and watch them there. Or if you want to watch them back, please do it there. There'll always be this episode uploaded with its own artwork and thumbnail, and that'll be shared on my social media. So yeah, please do watch it there. It'll help. I think we're about a third of the way there. We've been flying up the last few days, actually. So thank you, everybody, for the support on that. Hoping to get it done by Christmas or before and get Milk the Cow into 2023 with another funding stream. Speaking of funding streams, patreon.com, that's patreon.com/cowdaily. There you can make a regular donation to support our work and ensure the rise of daily independent media that tells the truth and evidences that truth. Also, if you want to make a one-off donation to said work, link in the description for PayPal, where you can do just that. And thank you to everybody who's been doing that. Much appreciated. Right, on with the show. What do we have for you? Right, I'm going to start and set the scene about what we've been talking about and just generally where we are now with it all. Because quite a lot of people don't believe any of this, which is interesting. Just like they believe, some people believe the Ford report was a conspiracy theory, which blew my mind, but never mind. So anyway, what do we have? From the Independent, 15th of July, 2023, excuse me. Keir Starmer scraps pledge to end NHS private sector outsourcing. Labour leader suggests breaking promise could help him win election. I mean, like, let's face it, he's got plenty previous of breaking promises to help him win an election. He got absolutely skewered by Penny Mordaunt yesterday on breaking his 10 pledges, which was an open goal, and the Tories were always going to keep it in reserve and pull it out for the motherlode, which is what they did yesterday. I would strongly suggest when people start getting on this stuff, Labour aren't going to look like such a good bet for any kind of election. Moving on. Now, the Bureau of Investigative Journalism, you can check out the credentials for yourself if you wish. Good. It says Labour's mystery 600k donor Martin Taylor revealed as Mayfair hedge funder. What's going on? So it says the Bureau can reveal that Labour's third largest individual cash donor since the last election helped run Nevsky Capital, a hedge fund based near Bond Street in Mayfair, West London. It has previously held significant stakes in controversial Russian energy companies, Gazprom and Lukoil. And according to its latest filings with the Securities and Exchange Commission in the US, it held 15 million of shares in United Health at the end of last year. Watch out for United Health. There's more. United Health, a huge US health insurance firm worth $76 billion, is one of several companies currently bidding for a $1.2 billion NHS contract for end-of-life care. The stakes are under the control of Nevsky Capital and not Martin Taylor himself. There's no suggestion of any inappropriate action by either Mr. Taylor or Nevsky Capital. Martin Taylor also met Ed Miliband on July the 3rd, 2013. Just 1 week later, the Labour leader attacked David Cameron at Prime Minister's questions by saying the Tory party relied heavily on hedge funds for donations. Now, we'll come back to that. In further scene setting, this is a short clip, an interview with somebody called Dr. Bob Gill. Now, Dr. Bob Gill has made a film called The Great NHS Heist, which you can see for yourself on YouTube. I've personally yet to watch it, but I will be doing that this week. Check it out. But in the meantime, this is what Bob has to say.
Systems have significant autonomy. They have their own boards, which are, as I said, dominated by private corporations. And from those fixed budgets, they have significant freedom to decide which services they provide on an organizational level and also mechanisms to deny care on an individual level. And money not spent on healthcare is kept as profit. So the problem with these new legal entities, these public-private partnerships, is that there is minimal democratic oversight. We have a mainstream media that has largely ignored the privatization. So it will be down to, you know, dedicated activists to try and expose what's going on, but it shouldn't be like that. We have companies like McKinsey, which are a management consultancy, that have drawn up procedures that these managers and accountants consider the taxpayer shouldn't be funding anymore. Now, this is an arbitrary list. It's not based on any evidence. One example might be joint replacement. So they will decide certain criteria by which a patient is allowed to have joint replacement surgery. Now, at what point has this discussion ever been taken place by politicians in the public domain? It hasn't happened. Only a select few of activists actually realize that this is how the system will work. So you will have a gradual salami slicing away of the comprehensive nature of the NHS, which is publicly funded. And that creates a demand for private health insurance to top up and replace what the NHS used to provide. So you have a contraction in supply, a contraction in capacity within the NHS, and guess who steps in? The private sector. So you have a two-tier system. A bit like America, where you have a publicly funded element and you have a growing privately funded insurance-based element. But controlling both will be large multinational corporations dominated by American corporations. The insurance company United Health are key players in this, and also the insurance company Centene, which we now know is Britain's largest provider of primary care.
That was Dr. Bob Gill there. The guy behind the Great NHS Heist documentary. That was posted on TikTok by @financialeyes. Check them out. So, enter stage left, or should that be enter stage right? Or even, no, it's not quite far right, or is he? It's your man, Wes Streeting. This from The Spectator, Isabel Hardman. Wes Streeting, we need the private sector to help reform the NHS. Now, why have I brought Streeting in at this point? What Dr. Bob was talking about was some new boards that are coming in, which I'll talk to you about just in a moment. Another article here from the New Scotsman. Wes Streeting admits Labour would use private firms to tackle NHS waiting lists. So from the Royal Society of Medicine, this is a quote from Streeting himself. I've seen some good examples already. I was up at the Leeds General Infirmary with Rachel Reeves, Shadow Chancellor of the Exchequer and MP for Leeds West, the other week, where they are using some of their money now as a trust to invest through Leeds City Council into social care to help deal with some of those delayed discharges. What he's talking about is integrated care systems, which is what Dr. Bob Gill alluded to within that little clip there. So what it's saying here is, and this is from weownit.org.uk, check them out. The NHS has been reorganized again, and if you're like most people, you'll have questions. So what's happening? From the 1st of July 2022, the NHS will be split into 42 integrated care systems, ICS, find out which ICS you're in, blah, blah, blah. So what are integrated care systems? And look, there's Boris Johnson. Is this him wheedling his way back in? Who knows? I still reckon he's coming back. Like, integrated care systems, or ICS for short, bring healthcare, social care, mental health, and community services together into one setting instead of continuing to provide these services separately. That would sound good if government departments were like having better communication between different bodies from the outside, and certainly departments within government. You'd get a lot of savings there, and that would be a lot better in terms of patient care, you would think. But it goes on. The Health and Care Bill, Tory Bill, will change two main things about the way the NHS is currently run in each local area. First, right now, decisions about what NHS services are available, who provides those NHS services, and who can be cared for in the NHS in each local area are currently made by a body made up of mostly of senior doctors, nurses, and NHS administrators. ICS systems, on the other hand, will be overseen by a board of directors in each area. That includes NHS providers. The official name for the board of directors is the Integrated Care Boards. And this is something that Wes Streeton referenced directly as being a good thing. So bear this in mind. Despite the government's claims to the contrary, the bill doesn't rule out people who work for private companies who have financial interest in private healthcare companies sitting on ICB boards. In fact, evidence is already indicating that private healthcare representatives will have a prominent role in making decisions about our healthcare in some areas. Well, surprise, who knew? For example, the designated chair of the Bedfordshire, Luton and Milton Keynes ICB is an executive at a private healthcare company called Queen Square Enterprises. And the ICS for Bath and North East Somerset, Wiltshire and Swindon has Virgin Care on the unofficial board of directors. What? Just before we move on there, I'm going to take some of your comments, because this is some mad stuff. I mean, I've obviously been researching this for a while, but I've been pulling up some new stuff recently, and it's just such a blag. But anyway, what are you seeing out there? What we got? Right, here we go. Everybody saying hi to each other. Hi, everybody. How are you doing? Nice to see you all. How are you going? Can you all still hear us? Because David Livingston's saying there's no sound and nobody else has said anything. So let us know. I'm just going to keep talking as if there is. Jacqueline Hemmings is saying, let us get past the stream yard. It's not letting it go up on the screen. That documentary is really interesting and worrying. I've just moved and I can't seem to register with a doctor for love nor money. I wonder if anyone else is having the same problem. Be interesting to hear from you as if there is. Robert Grady is saying, our NHS sell-off isn't even being hidden now. This has to be stopped. Indeed, mate. And I mean, some of you might know or not, probably most of you here, but like I'd be dead without the NHS. I got a spinal surgery and really good care by the NHS Trust where I'm from. And without that surgery, given how much like it was affecting my mental health, like the serious pain that I was in and just everything wrapped around it, I was seriously considering taking my own life. And I know that's like really hard to say and it's hard to hear, but it was becoming like a logical thing to think. I just couldn't deal with day-to-day life anymore. So I'm alive because of the NHS. So like yourself, Robert, I'm like, I'm not letting that go out of fight. I didn't once performatively bang some fucking pans and cheer for nurses during lockdowns. This is that. Something actually substantial. Just fucking take it however you want. So David's commented further on. So I assume he's all right. Yeah, you can probably hear us now. So well said about ICS, but funding, I think, is the key issue. Reorganization to hide cuts is an old tactic. Certainly is, mate. Absolutely. So what else do we have? The second way the bill will change the NHS is by scrapping the requirements to put contracts for NHS services through a competitive tendering process, which can and often does involve private companies bidding to provide services. Scrapping the competitive tendering process is not a bad thing if it is replaced with a new rule that makes the NHS the default provider of all NHS services. As the British Medical Association has argued, without making NHS the default provider, scrapping competitive tendering only opens the door to contracts being handed out to private companies without transparency. Campaigners believe the Health and Care Bill drives the NHS further down the road of NHS privatisation. Weonet's latest polling found that 76% of the public say they want NHS privatisation ended. So what are Labour up to and why? Why are they doing these things? Well, we're talking about money. And as we know, these funders, they're not going to give funding unless they're getting something in return. I mean, that's just not how it happens, is it? So we find ourselves in a position that Labour MPs and the party itself are being funded by a variety of different entities. And some of these entities are United Health, is a huge US health insurance firm currently worth $459.87 billion. The numbers are so big, it's like hard to read them. And is notorious for ruthless profit seeking. Scandals include overcharging Medicare by billions, shortchanging customers, attempting to block health reform, and denying customer claims. United Health, along with Kaiser Permanente, are seen as the big private health firms that shape the US healthcare landscape as it is today. Expensive, heartless, inaccessible to millions, and profit seeking to the exclusion of all other factors. Interesting bedfellows for the so-called Democratic Socialist Party, the Labour Party. It says that on the membership card, but that's where it stops, apparently. So here from the New York Times, United Health overbilled Medicare by billions, US says in lawsuit. Also, they work for you. Very interesting, and it doesn't just stop at Wes Streeton. Changes the register of members' interests. This is from 2020, right? And I want an absolute medal for the amount of scrolling I did to find this back then. My thumb is broken. But for you, name of donor, Martin Taylor, address private, amount of donation or nature and value or donation in kind, 25,000 for my campaign for deputy leader of the Labour Party, date received 5th of March 2020. You can go and check that out for yourself. It's on theyworkforyou.com or .org. Google it, you'll find it. So yeah, I found that this morning. And wow, Martin Taylor. And of course, there's no suggestion that there's any wrongdoing or anything. But why is somebody linked to private healthcare firms repeatedly funding people within the Labour Party? I leave that for you to answer, good people. I have my own opinions. So anyway, A lot of what isn't being said is this. Using the private sector to reduce waiting lists won't work. And the reason being is private providers don't have the capacity and they'll only get it by being awarded public money and poaching staff from the NHS. Both private firms and the NHS recruit from the same pool of limited clinical staff. And before I go on, just a point on that. Post-Brexit, a lot of NHS workers have left because they don't feel welcome or they just wanted to get out of Dodge. And who can blame them? Switching services to private depletes the capacity of the NHS long term, leading to more reliance on the private sector. But we've got Wes Streeton here and others saying, I will not shirk as Shadow Health Secretary, hopefully to be Health Secretary, to include the private sector. So all that you're doing is moving public money into private hands, Wes, and you're reducing an already depleted pool of NHS workers. And what will happen then? Oh, we're going to have to bring more private sector in. The Tories are the ones who've depleted this so much. It's out of our hands. We've got nothing else we can do. We're so sorry, but we'll promise we'll change it later. Oh, will you? So do not forget, using the private sector to reduce waiting lists will not work at all. So back to Streeton. Anyway, that lad, we love him. No, we don't. So Keep Our NHS Public, KONP, lists the following ways in which integrated care systems, which Wes Streeton said is a really good thing in the way it works when he was up there with Rachel Reeves and Leeds West. So what does it do? The increased presence and influence of the private sector, the greater use of digitalization and digital services, meaning fewer face-to-face appointments and with GPs, a shift in the principles underlying the NHS away from the provision of comprehensive universal care based on need to a focus on the management of patient demand. Worse conditions for the workforce, including flexible work, and meaning staff may be expected to work for different organisations across an ICS. Lack of accountability, including a reduced role for elected local authorities. So these are the things, is it, Wes, that you think are a good idea? I wonder why. So again, just to drill it home, using the private sector to reduce waiting lists, Wes, won't work. Private providers don't have the capacity. They will only get it by being awarded public money and poaching staff from the NHS. Public money into private hands again. Tories love it. Labour seem to love it too. Both private firms and the NHS recruit from the same pool of limited clinical staff. Remember, post-Brexit, NHS provision is safer and better value for money. Switching service to private depletes the capacity of the NHS long-term, leading to more reliance on the private sector. Why on earth, in the face of all evidence, would we want to go towards the model of the United States healthcare system, which repeatedly is shown to be one of the worst in the world, in the motherfucking world? So what else we got? City donations worth 15 million raised concerns over influence on UK politics. Total donated to parties by financial firms and individuals tied to the sector over 2 years, report says. Now, I put this as the wider sort of city donations here because it says here from David Barnes, a senior economist at Positive Money, once the scale of big finance's influence over government is laid bare, it becomes obvious how banks get bailouts and tax cuts while the rest of us get austerity and tax rises. And obviously, as we've seen with Jeremy Hunt's so-called reversal, U-turn, whatever you want to call it, yesterday, it's carte blanche for tax cuts for the rich and everybody else gets stiffed. So, I mean, you can look at yourself. Jeremy Hunt used to be health minister. Check out his checkered past when it comes to the NHS. Absolutely horrific. The worst. As ever, these things are intended to be a primer. Please go out and look at these things yourself. I could go a lot deeper, but we've done a solid 20-odd minutes here and we need to move on to something else. Always intended as a primer to look elsewhere. As I said, let's take some comments, though, before we move on. What do we have? Jacqueline says, I wonder if these private health insurance companies also have shares in the funeral business, especially those involved in end-of-life care. I don't know, but it's something that would be interesting. If you find anything, let us know. What do we have on YouTube? Thanks for watching it there, my friend. It's Media Medusa 42. For some reason, it will not go on the screen. Apologies from StreamYard on our behalf. Took mum for cataracts laser eye treatment. There it is. Years ago, she was told by an optician that she could use private company via NHS and would be better serviced. They had OEPs packed like sardines, and I wonder how much money is being made. What else do we have from you? Mum pushed for treatment at NHS after that. The hospital was quiet, and she was seen quickly by staff that cared, much happier. Top one. Right, so that's the stuff on the NHS. The top part of it is, good people, there's nobody other than us to fight for it. And this is what I'm trying to do. I'm remembering how absolutely unwell I was, and I never really got better for 5 years. It wrecked my immune system in some respects, and I think I hit a dose of early COVID, and then, as you know, I was just basically on the sick for a long time, with shingles and brain fog and all this long COVID-y type symptoms. So I owe my life to the NHS, and I will die to protect it. And I hope that everybody else who's benefited from it doesn't believe the lies being spun by the Labour Party, because they're positioning themselves. Oh my God, are they not positioning themselves? And I mean, we can go back to the Blair era on this as well. We can look at, I think it was called the Cash for Peerages scandal. And it was one of the things that hastened Tony Blair's resignation. People look back at that era as like, oh, well, you know, Iraq was the only blemish. There were so many of them, man. The Metropolitan Police did an investigation, right? And I can't remember the exact wording of the outcome because it didn't make the cut today, right? But they basically found evidence, but they didn't have enough under some legal technicality to charge anybody with this. But it was said this hastened Blair's nudge out of the job. So I would strongly suggest that the Old Boy Network may allegedly have had a word and said, old boy, resign later on, but, you know, gotta stop doing the dodgy shit. The reason I mention this is, I mean, it's basically like Blairite 2.0. This, some of the advisors are the same. Lots of the personnel are the same. Mandelson's floating about like the Prince of Darkness. None of this is good, man. So anyway, please fight for the NHS. And if people aren't wised up, share this with them, the audio, the video, whatever you want to do, man. Like, share ours, share other people's. Just let people know. But share ours, really. Ours is the best, yeah. So anyway, patreon.com/cowdaily. That's patreon.com/cowdaily. If you want to make a contribution to our work, if you want to make a one-off contribution to our work, you can go to PayPal. Links in the description of the podcast. Cheers, huns. Moving on to the next thing. This is something that I'm going to keep talking about because there's a guy still up there, still on the QE2 bridge. We talked about him yesterday. This is him in his own words as to why he's there.
Hello, it's Morgan. I'm a civil engineer from London. As part of Just Stop Oil, I'm occupying the QE2 bridge over the River Thames, carrying the N25. We just survived the first night up here. I was pretty cold and didn't sleep much, but I'm okay. And we're up here until the government makes a meaningful statement to cancel all new licenses and consents for oil and gas extraction. Because oil and gas is killing us now, and it's driving millions into poverty this winter. So we have to have an emergency transition to renewable energy to provide a stable, affordable energy. And we've got to pay for that transition using the profits of the oil and gas industry and the rich. So now's the moment for civil resistance. Come and do what you can at this pivotal moment in history. The UK's former chief scientist, Sir David King, said we have to move swiftly. We have 2 to 3 years left to get out of an uninhabitable Earth situation, which would be just appalling. So come and join us at Downing Street every day, 11 a.m. and take part. We'll stop this disruption when the government cancels all new oil and gas extraction licenses.
What a brave lad, Morgan, there, and his pal, whose name I haven't caught, who's on the other side of the bridge. I mean, they're saying they'll cancel it when the government cancel all new oil and gas and all of that. I had fear for how this is going to end. I mean, like, these people are not going to back down, are they, the government? And it doesn't look like your man there, Morgan's going to back down. So some of us remember Tories allowing people to die who are on protests in the past. So the need was support. Just Stop Oil need was support. If you want to know what I think and the apology I gave to Just Stop Oil, have a look at yesterday's show. What else has been happening overnight? And there was no sound to this video, right? So if you're obviously watching on the audio, I'll try and do some commentary over the top of it just so there's no dead air on the audio, right? But what this is people firing fireworks at them last night. Check this out. Can you hear me? I hope so. Bang, there's a firework going off up near them. Absolutely, utterly, totally disgusting behavior. And what's worse is somebody who posted it when they were captured by other activists, right? The guy had changed his name from something at Craig at ADL or something, who'd posted it. I've had a look on Twitter and there's a lot of like far-right ghoul accounts who are amplifying this and making it all like, oh, you know, don't, whatever you do, fire anything at them unless it's after dark. One of them, Martin Daubney, who's part of that Reclaim party with Lawrence Fox, he has done that as well. And what I'm going to suggest is this. Defending protests has always been a British tradition or a tradition at all. It's getting spicy. Can you imagine what would happen if one of those fireworks hits them and there's people going there firing them up at them every night? It's already terrifying for them. You've seen what Morgan's doing. They're out there fighting for us. It's time to defend them. Like, I'm not advocating violence and I never would, but there's different ways of protecting that protest. If you're in the Dartford area, or you could be, please do that. Please do it peacefully. Yeah, peacefully. So don't let fascists do the establishment's work for them. Look at history and how fascists have been wheeled in, like quite a lot on these, like, you know, just to intimidate and to basically smash protests. Can't be allowed. As Morgan's just said there, we've got 2 to 3 years to actually do something which reverse this in some ways. I haven't got time to show you this, but I was looking at this tool that's been flying around, and it'll show you, based on height of water in 2050, what will be underwater. So I've posted it on our Facebook page, so if you want to know more and check where your house will be, get on my Facebook page and have a look. Absolutely crazy and crackers all this. And it's lush to be here with you every day and to go through this, and it's really good for me mental health, to be quite honest. I think a lot of us have been stuck in the houses during the lockdowns. A lot of us still are. Shouts to all currently vulnerable people. No, we haven't forgotten about you, and we'll be doing a show soon on just that. Much like how I feel about the NHS, it's how I feel about clinically vulnerable people. I was stuck in bed for a long time. And first it was with recovering from spinal surgery. And then later on it was with long COVID, shingles, whatever the hell was going on there. And I'll not forget people who are stuck in that same situation, who've just been left to dry by the government, but also a lot of us as well, a lot of the population, and it's not on. I know how horrible it feels to be stuck in the house on your own, and life moves on for other people, but you're stuck there. I mean, when I couldn't walk, especially, it was horrific, just fucking awful. But anyway, that's by the by. It's personal to me, this, and it always will remain personal to me. So anybody, especially these bastards who try and mess with our NHS, that's a hell no from me. So anyway, a few comments before we get out of here. Joanne is saying, the Just Stop Oil protest is really depressing me. Not the protest itself, but the comments from all the wankers on Twitter who are just blowing my mind. They are, but don't forget, like, there's mass bot farms out there as well. Like, and I think, you know, they use it. And it's been shown they use this to, like, just shape public opinion, whoever's got a vested interest. Sometimes it can be like state actors from like other countries. You just never quite know, do you? How ye's in the hoose. Nice to see you, pal. Mint t-shirt. I've got the black one with the rainbow badge. Skills. If people who don't know, it's FC St. Pauli. This is a training top from 2015-16 season. It's got FC St. Pauli on the back as well. I like it. I like FC St. Pauli, and you do too. Deeply appreciate all your efforts, Mike, and yours, mate. And I wouldn't be here without people like you and the people who are supporting and turning up every day as well, and new people coming in also as well. So just know how deeply I appreciate you. Joanne is also saying, are we on tonight? I was going to mention this right at the end, but I'll mention it now. Alice, bloody sick note, is ill again, coughing her guts up again. So, nah, seriously, she's ill. And somebody who is a clinically vulnerable person, who is back out in the world of work now, we've got to be really bloody careful. So it's always health first. So I'm doing this show this morning. And we obviously wish Alice well and hope she's back next week. I've missed her, and obviously we've done a good couple since we've come back as well. And it's always nice for me to not just be doing the one-to-ones. One thing we are going to do on the daytime is we've got a visitor coming to, like, house guest. So the room that I've got earmarked for building another studio is that one. So my point is, we're going to be doing 12 o'clock every weekday once a visitor leaves, because I'll be able to build that, and we'll have that regular thing. And I think 12 o'clock, it's, you know, we'll catch the lunchtime people, and it's just something that'll, like, help build the show. At the minute, I've had too many things going on to commit to a regular time, but that's what it's going to be. And obviously Tuesday nights, Cow Weekly with Alice, 7 o'clock every Tuesday. So don't worry about it. We'll be back. Jacqueline saying, I hope Alice gets better soon. Me too, mate. Joanne saying, much love to Alice. Me too, pal. Definitely. See if I've missed anything. David is saying, it's interesting how many people are just focusing on petrol when the revolution coming will also affect the car industry from your local garage and car showroom to the local petrol station. David, man, like, there's so much delusion kicking about at the minute, mate. I'm finding that hard, but also I'm finding I'm coping through humor. It's like so fucking funny. It was at this point, like, against the weight of all evidence, that people are just like, and what? It was like the other day, some of these like Rajis who are like pulling people off like protest lines when Just Stop Oil, like, will passively block the road. And they're shouting like, fuck the climate crisis. I don't fucking care. Get out of the fucking way. Crazy talk, isn't it? But, like, you know, reality soon smacks people in the face. So I'm not asked about people's like messed up ideologies and belief systems, because it's going to go one of two ways. There's either going to be some massive penny dropping thing happen and we'll sort this out in the next 2 to 3 years. I'd give that a 20% chance, and that's been good. Or everything's going to go to utter rat shit because the people who are in charge are utter sociopaths who put their power and their personal ego gain over the needs of an entire planet. Now, the planet isn't going to go anywhere. The planet's going to be just fine. It's just going to get rid of us. That's what's going to happen. So I think we need to be careful on our words. Shouts to Just Stop Oil. Shouts to Morgan up there on the bridge. If we can do anything to help and defend that protest, please do. Obviously, keep your eyes on the NHS. Carry on with Labour as well. So much to keep your eyes on. But it's good for me to know that there's people like yous out there. Also, please tell a friend to tell a friend. We really can climb up these charts. And we're punching well above our weight with the BBC. We're just surrounded by them. I think we're one of only two independent podcasts anywhere near the top end of the charts. And that's because of yous. And it's also because we're turning up every day and we're getting shit done. And honestly, as I was saying about being ill and being stuck in bed, that guy would have cried his eyes out if he knew I could, one, sit up in a seat, two, have the cognitive capacity to actually put together these shows. Because for a long time, years, I couldn't do it. So without your confidence in me and encouragement and that of Alice and my partner and other people in my personal life, I'd probably be dead. So the NHS, always. Love yous, chaps. Please do comment, rate, and subscribe. And please do tell a friend to tell a friend. And if you can afford it, please fund my work. It's really good, really appreciated and just vital right now. So much love to everybody. I'm going to see yous tomorrow. Bye.